We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
In for Dono this evening, my name is Chris Whittingham, here on a Black Friday, which has now taken on more than one intonation as it relates to the Miami Hurricanes losing to the Pittsburgh Panthers on the final day of the regular season. This was the game. After, it was funny, I went to the Notre Dame game as a fan, and I was there with my dad, and I said to him straight after the game, "Oh crap, we have home Virginia at Pittsburgh on the day after Thanksgiving next. I don't like this. Something bad is going to happen." Now, the balance I would like to strike on this program is one of understanding UM's flaws, but not trying to say I told you so. Understanding that they were really poor performances today without calling anyone a bum. Understanding that the quarterback deserved to be benched on today's evidence, but he's not useless and he's a college kid, and it would be harsh to criticize a college athlete sort of above saying he was really bad today. We don't need to say he's a bum. We don't say he's, you can do whatever you want, and you can file into the phone bank here at 954-567-0560 or 305-567-0560. The point is 567-0560, and you will get through using either the Dade or Broward area codes. And we will keep an eye on the college football news coming in across the day. The big game right now is USF and UCF leading by a point, 35-34, with 4:41 to go from Spectrum Stadium in Orlando, Florida. This has been an amazing game of football. Over 1,000 yards worth of offense in the game. Also, just coming in, Brett Bielema, the head coach of Arkansas, has been fired. They lost today to Missouri. And I'm not kidding you, the game ended at about 6:30, and at about 6:35 the press release came out that this was long planned. Brett Bielema was just going to serve out the remainder of the season. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on in those games and keep you up to date. But obviously we'll spend the majority of this program talking about the University of Miami Hurricanes. And let's just go ahead and start digging into all the major talking points. And I think a lot of the callers will get on this too. Again, the phone number is 567-0560, whether it's in Dade or Broward, 954 or 305. Use before you call the show. So Malik Rozier, you start there. I thought he deserved to be benched on today's performance. And I think we can now say that there have been times this year during the season where other things with this UM program have aided Malik Rozier in not necessarily having his flaws exposed, right? So you go back to the Florida State game, right? They go into the half with 0 points against Florida State. 0 points. Last week, they go into the half with 14 points, right? And it would be harsh to just point it out on Rozier, right? But you have I talked about it with Channing and Matt Porter on Tuesday. There are times where you see his inaccuracy all over the field, throwing the ball at a receiver's feet, throwing a ball over their head, trying to go down the field and sailing it, trying to go down the field and underthrowing it. And then you get the throw like the throw last week against Virginia to Dale Harris, which is in a double coverage. And that was the difference between last week and today. Yeah, he delivered the 3rd and 15, which I was stunned by. But for the most part, his deep throws, which Pittsburgh was inviting him to throw, which actually was a bit surprising to me because that would be the one area of success that I thought Miami has, the one area in the passing game that Miami's had the most success in. Rozier is not an intermediate thrower. He throws a screen, which today, how many times did he overthrow a screen pass to Berrios? I mean, it was shocking. And then down the field, he throws a deep ball very well. But today, it was outside shoulder again and again and again and again. If you throw the receiver inside, he's open. If you throw it outside, it's towards the DB or towards the sideline. If you throw him inside, he's got open receivers all over the field, and he kept missing them. And I think what Mark Richt was trying to do was get Evan Sheriffs in there to have someone who can accurately hit those throws. Now, he came in and looked a bit frazzled and was under pressure, and he was never going to be the answer. Now, I would have been curious to see what happened if, let's say, Pitt went 3 and out on their next drive. Now, Pitt took the ball and took advantage of the fact that Miami's defense had been on the field the whole game and ran it all the way down the field and scored and ended the game. But it would have been curious to see what Evan Sheriffs would have looked like as Miami's quarterback for a second series, right? It's tough in any circumstance, right? It's a short week. He wouldn't have taken many reps throughout the entirety of the season. And then he comes in and he's just kind of, hey, save our season. We're 10-0. We're on the road. We're down by 10. Go in there, big man. Do it for us. That's a tough situation to be thrown in. And I think his performance reflected kind of the weight of that situation. But I understand why Richt made the decision. I thought pass protection was pretty good on the day. Even in the face of a Pittsburgh blitz, that's what Pat Narduzzi does. He dials it up. He goes man-to-man on the outside. And if you're going to go man-to-man on the outside with Pittsburgh's DBs against Miami's receivers, you would expect Miami's receivers to win every single solitary time. Every single time. And you saw it again and again. Miami's receivers were open down the field with good throws. Miami would have had a terrific day offensively, because they loaded up to stop the run, which we've seen a lot. We saw it last week, too. And even still, I think Miami's run blocking, it leaves something to be desired. And we'll get to that. And I'm sure the callers will hammer the offensive line. They'll hammer what Pittsburgh did or didn't do today. They'll hammer, and it'll be reflected in the calls, but they'll hammer the punter, which is something that we can talk about at some point. But I thought, watching the game, that Malik Rozier deserved to be benched. And it's no slight on him towards the next game. It's no slight on him with the previous game or what's happened until now. He's 10-0, and he did the job this year. He came in, replaced Brad Kaya, and was terrific with his feet, which, by the way, credit to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh took away Rozier running the football. It like happened once, and he had to like break three tackles to do it. They were not going to be beat by Malik Rozier running the football. It just wasn't going to happen. And so I thought Pittsburgh did a lot of good things today. They were good last week on the road at Virginia Tech. This true freshman quarterback did the job, and I think they deserve a fair amount of credit for what happened today. But I just think that what Malik Rozier turned in today is something that we've seen in previous games, but it gets papered over with victories. Braxton Berrios even said after the game, winning seems to mask things. And I think some of the UM conversation where if you'd point out their flaws, people would get mad at you and say, oh, you're just hating on Miami. You're not hating on Miami. You're just watching football, right? I mean, unless you're winning every game 59-0, you're going to have flaws. And the reason why I thought I was still, after the Notre Dame game, I had sort of given up trying to nitpick is because, first off, they had turned in such a dominant performance. But also, you look at the other college football teams around the country, there's nobody who's flawless right now. Even Alabama, like, they can be had. We'll see it tomorrow. But with the amount of injuries that they have, particularly in their front seven, Alabama can be beaten. UCF, by the way, is going to go in and score. They're now up 41-34, pending the extra point. So USF could get the ball with a chance to tie it, needing a two-point conversion. But a massive touchdown there for UCF. But I just think that All season, we've seen some of the vital signs. We've seen the running game not get going. And today, it was 10 carries, 16 yards for the running backs. And it looked like no sign of changing. We saw it last week against Virginia. It didn't change until midway through the fourth quarter. And that's what Mark Walton brought that DJ Dallas and Travis Homer don't, is the ability to make chicken soup out of chicken bleep. Or chicken salad out of chicken bleep. My bad. I got my metaphors mixed up. But either way, the run game is what makes the difference for this Miami team. This is a running-based offense with the ability to go over the top. Miami or Pittsburgh took it away today, and credit to them, because Miami had nothing going on the ground the entirety of the game. Defensive side of the football, yeah, in general, you're satisfied with having given up 24 points. That should be good enough to win, but I think at times we've seen this Miami defense struggle to get off the field, give up too many yards. They were hurt as well by the field position game, and I think the defense can be had at times. It's a tackle for loss turnover defense, and today when they weren't generating pass rush and Pittsburgh was moving them side to side and using their receivers in the run game and spreading the ball out, I thought at times Miami's defense, you can see where the holes are. Because their strength is at linebacker, the opportunity for the other team is to spread them out. Because I get that Miami has very good linebackers, but you just don't have the speed of a fifth defensive back to get to cover sideline to sideline in the same way as you do when you're playing three linebackers. So I think that in general we saw a lot, or we saw the most exaggerated version of every UM flaw that we've seen this season come to bear in one game. And that, in the end, proved to be the difference. All right, though, but on tonight's show, we want to get your reaction, obviously, as the fan, and I'll kind of cover my thoughts as we go through it with the caller. So we'll start first. By the way, phone number is 954-0305-567-0560. My name is Chris Whittingham. I'm in for Alex Donald this evening here on a Black Friday. We'll start with Tony, who's on 560 WQM.
Today was a heartbreaking loss. I am devastated. And let me say this. Do you think by Miami losing, do you think this hurts college football a little bit? Because we would have had an undefeated Miami team going up against a Clemson team, and that would have been, the ratings would have been sky high on that. But Miami blew it with this Pittsburgh team. And the reason why we didn't run the ball is because we couldn't complete the passes. You complete some of those passes. There was the tight end running down the stream, and he just avoided him, and then he took the sack. You complete some of those passes. You open up the lanes for the running backs, but it just didn't happen. You're right. It just didn't happen. And this loss just really hurts. And let's not forget, we're going to play Clemson in where? Carolina? It's Clemson's going to have home field right there. But, you know, I have so many other things. I'm just heartbroken. It's not like my girlfriend just broke up with me, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And my word, this USF game. Are you seeing this, Matt Wilson, on the other side? My goodness. Down 8, USF converting like a 65-yard touchdown. It's Jesus. A ridiculous game of football this is. Get to a television if you can. But I agree with you. It's heartbreaking, man, because I was saying this all week long to all my friends. One of my buddies texted me, I'm terrified of Pitt. And it's just because you wanted to get to that game. And you described it having a bigger impact on college football. I don't know about that. Maybe it has an impact on ABC's rating for next Saturday. It doesn't feel like quite a massive a game as undefeated Miami. But it's still one loss Miami, who I think will end up with, if results even sort of hold par, if it's just sort of if it's a favorites win kind of college football weekend, which odds would be against that, right? A Georgia Tech can beat a Georgia, and Auburn can beat an Alabama. You look at the other games of the teams in the top seven-ish. Ohio State could sort of leapfrog you. They play Michigan, obviously, in the game on Saturday afternoon. So there's a lot of teams in and around where Miami is that can also lose. And so I don't think that it's sort of ironclad that Miami's going to really fall that far, and I don't think they should. Yeah, a one-loss team loss, by the way. USF just converted the two-point, so it's now 42-42, minute 40 to go in that game. But I don't think necessarily it hurts college football on a broader level, but yeah, no, I get what you're feeling. I wanted to get to the ACC championship game with that being a winner-take-all kind of feeling game, where now you go into the game thinking, yeah, we might win and still not get into the playoff, even as a one-loss champion. I think it would be very difficult to believe, given the history of the college football playoff, if you get to that point where you're unbeaten heading in towards that college football playoff, or you have one loss and you're a conference champion, which is the be-all, end-all tiebreaker, and you have conferences that can end up, that can send two lost champions to the playoff, and your only loss is to a Pitt team that, yeah, they're 5-7, but Syracuse or Clemson's losses to Syracuse, they're 4-7 right now, heading into the weekend, and just got shellacked. All right, we'll continue to go through the calls. Vincent, you're on QAM.
Hello?
Yes, go on, Vincent.
How you doing, first of all? How you guys are doing?
I'm good.
Second of all, you know, I want to congratulate Coach Rick and the Miami Hurricanes for the positive season that we did have here. But, you know, I don't understand sometimes as a fan, that call yourself a fan, how you can criticize something you watched all year long. Okay, everybody's Malik Rozier. Listen, Malik Rozier is who he is. We've been all season. But that wasn't what happened today. Pittsburgh took this team out of character. They took this team on both sides of the line out of character. We were exposed. We need to accept that and move on. Get ready for Clemson. They did nothing special but what they supposed to have done, what other teams failed to do, and you have to give them credit for that. And that's simple. They beat both sides of the ball. Stop complaining about Rozier. That wasn't the case. The case was we got whipped in the trenches. We better get ready for Clemson because they're going to come with a copycat scheme, and we're going to see the same thing. So stop complaining and get ready to play some footballs on both sides of the ball. And I thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be truthful.
I appreciate the phone call, Vincent. I agree with you in a certain respect, right? We talked about how in the run game, Miami wasn't able to do anything. By the way, UCF, so it was tied 42-42. UCF just ran back the kickoff return for a touchdown. It's now 49-42, a minute 10 to play, and USF's going to get the ball back.
Tackling doesn't exist in this game. This is like playing your friend in Madden.
It was when it was 35-34, so two scores ago, there was over 1,000 yards of offense in the game. So
Quentin Flowers has 600 himself, basically.
Right. This is an insane game of football. And it's too bad that USF didn't come into the game unbeaten. I think they lost to Houston along the way.
Yeah, early on.
Yeah, so because if it was two unbeaten Florida schools, kind of the mid-majors, if you will, of the state, it would have been hugely fun. But, I understand we're saying they got whipped up front. But I think you look at the other aspects of the game, and there were opportunities in the throwing game, right? There were opportunities for Rozier to hit open receivers. I don't think you can say you got whipped when I can count five passes where if you just throw an accurate pass, there's an opportunity for a touchdown or even a long completion. Like when there are opportunities that you leave on the field, you can't say, "Oh, we got whipped," right? If on the defensive side, you came out in the second half and for the first four or five possessions you're defending, Pitt did nothing for four or five possessions. I just, like, to me, there were too many opportunities in that game to say you got flatly whipped, right? Yeah, it was 17-7, you know, into the fourth quarter, but you left opportunities on the field. And that, to me, is why you can't say, well, you know, you can't just talk it up to, well, if it was like Notre Dame against Miami, where every time they got the ball, they didn't even look like they had a chance to score, right? Where they were just overwhelmed. I didn't think Miami was overwhelmed today. I really don't. I thought Pittsburgh had a perfect defensive plan. They executed it to perfection. They made Malik Rozier beat them, which is what other teams have tried to do, and they successfully executed it. So well done to them. But I wouldn't go with you. I wouldn't go so far as to say that they got whipped today. Let's go to Fred, who's on QAM. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, guys. Our record is 10-1, correct?
Yes.
If at the beginning of the year you were going to sit here, or anybody was going to sit here and tell me that we'd be 10-0 going into the Pittsburgh game, nobody would have said, yeah, we're going to be 10-0. So I think people need to just take a deep breath and relax. Look, we're 10-1. We're playing in the ACC championship game against Clemson. It's going to be a tough game. Everybody knows that. But if we win that game, I truly believe we'll be in the top four. And we'll get into the playoffs. Obviously, we're going to need some help from some other teams. But, I mean, we could sit here and count Rozier, and, you know, what a bad game he had here. I mean, Pittsburgh played an amazing game today. They were flawless out there. And one thing that probably nobody really is talking about is, and I don't want to bash this guy, but Fiegels' punts, they were pretty weak today. I don't know. And it's been like this for a while. Obviously, you're not going to bench him, but I don't know what's going on with that. I mean, 35 yards a punt is not going to get it for a top five team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Rick was talking after the game. We'll play back his post-game press conference at some point during this program on until 10. But he said that it was something about directional punting where, you know, if you ask him to kick it straight, which, by the way, is what they did for his last punt, his 10th on the day, and it finally was a good one. It pinned them inside the 10. Unfortunately, Pitt took the ball and went 90 yards with it. But, yeah, the punting, and it's one of the things where if you've been following the team all year long and you watching game in, game out, and you know what this team's flaws are, you knew that was one of them. You knew that once a game, Jeff Fiegels was good for a shank punt. Now, today, there was it was highlighted by the fact that he was on the field so much. And that's why, and I'd be curious for the callers to chime in on the benching. Because the Hurricanes punted 10 times today. And Evan Sheriffs was responsible for one of them, right? So Malik Rozier had 10 offensive possessions to start the game. One ended in a touchdown, and 9 ended in punts. And so if you're saying you can't bench Malik Rozier because he's going to summon some magic at some point, man, how many possessions would it have taken, right? Oh, he's good for a good fourth quarter. First possession of the fourth quarter was not good. He's good in the second half. All throughout the third quarter, underwhelming. And I understand if you're Mark Richt, right? It's like a baseball manager in game seven of the World Series. If your starter has first and second on in the second inning and you want to go to your bullpen because this is our last chance, do it. What do you have left to lose, right? Now, if you're saying the Hurricanes are 5-0 and your offense has really struggled today and you need to try and build something, yeah, I kind of get it, right? I get the whole point of wanting to try and build something for the remainder of the season as opposed to what's happening in the moment. But for you to try to argue with, this is for the season. This is for to preserve your college football playoff hopes. If you want to make a change, then that's totally within your rights. By the way, UCF just beat South Florida 49-42. UCF recovered a fumble on USF's drive inside of the UCF 45. So Scott Frost and his team go undefeated. So at least one team will finish the regular season undefeated. We had 4 coming into the day: Alabama, Wisconsin, Miami, and UCF. So UCF gets the job done. They beat USF 49-42. So that game is over. But I think that decision was well in order, was bang on in order, because Rozier was deserving of not playing anymore. And Mark Richt even said to him, because after Sheriffs went 3-and-out, Rozier came back, I want to lead my guys. And Rick's like, no. And then once Pitt goes on a 6-minute drive, then, all right, we'll throw him back out there because he's familiar with our 2-minute offense. But I don't understand the criticism. We're like, I saw like Anthony Becht of ESPN was on Twitter saying, oh, this is a fireable offense for Richt. Oh, Richt should be fired for this. Like, you gotta try and do something. You got to try and create a spark. You got to try and create something so that your season can remain alive. Now, a lot of people will come on and argue, and I think there is a route for Miami to keep their season alive, to beat Clemson in the ACC championship game and go on and have a chance to get in the playoff. But this is a huge dent to your hopes, at least to do that. Now you're relying on help. You're relying on help because if Oklahoma wins out, if Alabama wins out and Wisconsin wins out, now you're up against it. Even if you win, you're right in there with, you know, potentially Notre Dame, I guess. I mean, Wisconsin would have beaten Ohio State.
That's true.
So, yeah, if you're the AC, I guess you're 4 in that spot. I don't know. Weird thing. If let's say Auburn wins. Okay, so let's say Auburn wins tomorrow. And then wins the SEC championship game. You have 1 loss, Alabama. Do you put one loss Alabama who didn't get to their conference championship game or one loss champion Miami? I don't know. Because Alabama's strength of resume, strength of team, like a committee can look at, I think Alabama's a better team than Miami. And they'd be well within their rights to believe that. So you've left it in the committee's hands, right? That's what happened today. We'll see what happens next week. I think Miami will summon a much better performance next week against Clemson than they did today. All right, if you want to continue to get in on the phone lines, they're jam-packed right now, but 954-305-567-0560. We'll carry on with this conversation. UM losing to Pitt today, and we'll continue to do the postmortem here on QAM. 10 p.m. following a day's worth of coverage around the Miami Hurricanes, which ends with a loss. I thought maybe I'd be coming in here to do a celebration and a preview of a Clemson game. I would have watched some YouTube clips of Clemson games, and I would have been all fired up. That'll be safe for later in the week. I still think, by the way, that'll be a fun occasion. And I think we'll kind of talk our way into it over the course of the week. You're going to need a couple of days to mourn it, to get over it. But now, the season's not over, man. Like, I think the committee show is going to come out on Tuesday. Maybe you get some crazy results this weekend that make you think, oh, you're not the only one that went down. It was kind of the first of many results, and you're still a one-loss team, and you'll be in the top six. And I think we'll kind of get this train back up again and see if maybe Miami gets someone a performance. Because I think the thing that's pretty clear, and I generally don't believe in this stuff, but I think you can talk a little bit more about the intangibles when it comes to the college game rather than the professional game, is playing down to opponents versus playing up to opponents. You're going to go to a neutral site, you're going to play a Clemson team, and they're going to be up for that game because it's going to be the highlight game of the evening. I don't think there's another conference championship game. Although, Bama and Georgia, if they sort of go chalk, but that'll be in the afternoon. At night, you'll be going up against the Big Ten and then a Pac-12, but I don't think those games will carry the same kind of impact. So I think Miami will still be the marquee game of Saturday night. I still think it'll be the most fun game for the college football fan on the day. So I think UM fans still have plenty to be excited about. And I think every bit of analysis comes with the caveat. They went 10-1 this season. It really should have been 11-1 if you had played at Arkansas State. And this was as fun of a regular season you could possibly have. We even got some turnover chains today. We got two of them, which is tame compared to what they've turned in the last few weeks, but you still had a few of those. So I think that, yes, it's a downer. Yes, you lose to an under 500 team that was playing a true freshman quarterback, and you just sort of say that and go, ooh, that's unpleasant. But on the whole, if this game had happened last week of September and all like this sort of run of results happened to close the year, you would be feeling momentum, and I think you should still feel that sort of positive energy heading in towards the conclusion of the season. By the way, UCF and USF went final. That was an unbelievable game. It ended on a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then USF got the ball back and fumbled. Here are some of the statistics from the game. USF had 653 yards of offense and lost. UCF had 561 yards of offense and won. The quarterback for USF had 503 yards passing, 605 yards total when you include his 102 yards on the ground. The receivers for USF averaged 21 yards per catch. It was a bonkers game. If you can find highlights somewhere on the internet, please do. All right, we will continue to get your reaction here on this program over the course of the next 2.5 hours that I'm here. 954-305-567-0560 if you want to get in. We'll start with Eric, who is on 560. Go on.
Hey, what up, Chris?
How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, man. Listen, the Hurricanes today did what they've been doing all year. When it comes down to playing lesser opponents, they let them stick around. They're not up for these games for some whatever reason. And it finally caught up to them. And I believe it probably would have caught up to them earlier in the year if they weren't playing at home. Games like Georgia Tech, you know, Syracuse, they're all playing at home. If they were playing in their state, they probably would have lost one of those games. You know, at the end of the day, I blame this loss specifically on number 12. And, you know, Rozier just, he was not on today. He was off. His accuracy was horrible. I don't think it's nothing that Pittsburgh did. He had four or five throws that he overthrew wide open people. Harley got held on one play in the end zone. There was a multiple, by the way. I don't complain about flags or referees much.
Yeah.
But I felt like there was a lot of holding going on defensive line today. I saw a clear three or four of them.
There was one screen grab of Trent Harris that was making the rounds, where he was clearly being yanked by the neck. It was the most obvious hole in the world.
And Chris, the Mike Harley one in the end zone. I mean, the guy's mugging him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, no calls. It is what it is. You play down to your competition is what happens. The best thing about next week, it's prime time at 8 o'clock. And UM is, they've come to play during that time. So hopefully they get a victory. All right, Chris. Thanks, man.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, and I think the road thing is something that we haven't talked about a lot. And they were talking about it on the broadcast. Brock Heward is mentioning, yeah, they played six of their last seven at home. And it hadn't sort of dawned on me that that's what the figures were. But they played, you know, on the road some in the start of the season. Then you had one road game canceled in the non-conference. And so all of a sudden your road schedule looks a lot different. And I think now heading forward, what does neutral site mean to this team? What is playing in primetime against a great team? Like, people were saying today, oh, this Miami team is going to get killed. And here's the thing. We said that after the UNC game, right? UNC, they won the game. They won 24-19. And I thought to myself, they play like that, they're getting killed. And they didn't play like that. And so I think that there are different versions of this Miami team, and I think they will get up for the game. Now, I don't think that necessarily today was a matter of getting up, because to go undefeated in the regular season is plenty of motivation. I don't think it's a motivation thing. I just think their strategy, the things that they were meant to do in the game, was on, right? So like Rozier's long throws down the field were inaccurate. And so I think it was a planning thing. I don't think it was an energy thing. I just thought they were bad. And they've shown at times this year that they've been bad. They're not a dominant team. Mark Richt has even said that. And I think we kind of got sick of nitpicking the performances, and then you finally got the dominant wins against Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, and all right, we're done nitpicking. We're good. But I think these last two games have shown you that the flaws are still there. You haven't solved them. And I think heading into games that will probably be, so let's say you lose the ACC championship game, you go to the Orange Bowl, you play a good team. If you win the ACC championship game, you go to the playoff, you're playing a great team. You got nothing but great teams left on the schedule. There are no more letdowns left on the schedule. And so how does Miami adjust? Let's go to Mike, who is in Pompano on 560 WQAM.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Couple things I want to dispute you on. You said a couple minutes ago about if Miami goes and beats Clemson, Alabama loses to Auburn, do you put a one-loss Alabama team with their resume ahead of Miami? And you insinuated you do. I counter with, what resume? They lost to Auburn, if that happens, and their only victory against anybody with any consequence is Mississippi State.
Who lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I mean, I don't understand how you would put a one-loss Miami based on optics, based on playing Mercer last week.
It's beating Tennessee 45-7. It's beating Arkansas 41-9. It's beating Ole Miss 66-3. It's beating Florida State when Florida State was healthy and they ended their season literally from the third quarter of that game on. Like they have soundly beaten teams this year. I think more than Miami has. But you're right. If you're basically taking the logos off of the program, you're saying here's resume one, here's resume two, I think Miami would deserve to be in, but I think the subjectivity of the committee allows them to say, yeah, maybe Alabama has a slightly worse resume, but we just think based off of watching that they're a better team, and I'm not sure that they're wrong.
Okay, my other question to you is this, okay? And this one I disagree with you on, and I'm hoping it's you. I'm at work, so I've heard two different shows, so
right.
I'm hoping it's you. If it's not you, I'm sorry. But I think this game illustrated why Mark Richt is a tremendous football coach, but he can't win championships. I do not agree. What message are you sending to your team when you pull a guy who's won 10 straight games for you and you pull him at the most crucial situation in the game? And he's begging you, let me go lead my team. And then he goes out and throws another two-play touchdown pass, two plays, they score. All of a sudden, it's 24-14. When you put Sheriff in, you've lost your mobility. You've got a quarterback who's dropped back. It's all his game. They've already batted down six or seven passes. So they've already been coached. This sit back on a pocket quarterback and knock down his passes. Why are you taking Malik's mobility out of the game?
Well,
why are you taking a guy out of the game in the most crucial situation of your season? What message are you sending to your team?
I think, and I appreciate the call, Mike. To me, the message that you're sending to the team is that nobody is above this, right? If any other player on the field had turned in a similar caliber performance, they would not be playing, right? They would be taken off the field. If a corner, you know, goes up against a receiver and is 1v1 and gets beaten 9 out of 10 times, he wouldn't be playing. He would have been yanked out of the game. And I think the quarterback is no different. And I think Mark Richt reserves the right to say, yes, we've won all of these games, right? Everything that has happened up until now is Rozier has done the job. But he reserved the right to say, even within those games, I didn't think your performances were very good. And in this game, your performance has been terrible. And so I think we need to make a change because I don't think that the mobility was on in this game. I really don't. I don't think Rozier even creating extra time, even Rozier creating, you know, stepping aside from pressure and then making a throw downfield was ever on because you never saw it. I mean, there were times he's taking sacks, he's falling backwards, he's going into the pressure instead of away from it. He made every kind of mistake you can make today, which is fine. College kids turn in uneven performances. You'll even see it from Sam Darnold, who's going to be the number one pick in the draft. Like, this is not atypical for college quarterbacks, but when they punt 9 out of 10 possessions, the message is, what kind of message is this? And the message is that if you're playing poorly, you're not going to play. Our standard right now is the College Football Playoff Committee said this is a championship caliber team. And a championship caliber team cannot have a quarterback who cannot engineer simple throws. And that's the thing that to me, that Mark Richt was turning to Evan Cherish for. We're going to protect you. We're going to give you time, and you just need to hit the open receiver. How many open receivers were missed today? I'm going to, at some point, when I get over the misery of this loss and really dig into this game, it'll probably be on Monday after the Dolphins, because I got the Dolphins show on Sunday. I'm going to try and rewatch this game and sort of count how many open throws he missed. And if you can just bring in a quarterback who, if nothing else, make the open throws, maybe that makes a difference in the game. It didn't. But I think it was worth a shot. And I don't think it's necessarily an indictment of Mark Richt as coach, Mark Richt as play caller, Mark Richt as anything, even motivator, even builder of team culture. Like, none of that stuff to me is impacted by that decision today. Because he's 10-0, he needs to save his season, and he's got to do something. Has to do something. And I don't blame him for making that decision in that moment, because today, Malik Rozier simply did not turn in a good performance. And it's fine to say that. And it's fine if you're Mark Richt to then go after the game. We tried it. It didn't work. And Malik Rozier is still my quarterback. He tweeted it after the game, like, almost straight away. So that, for me, is the message, such as there is one, of Mark Richt making the quarterback change. If you want to continue to get in on the phones, 305 or 954-567-0560. 567-0560, Dan and Broward, get in on the phone lines. We will continue on. Chris Whittingham in for Alex Dano here on QAM. The post-game show, taking you up until 10 p.m. this evening. Hurricanes lose to Pitt 24-14 today. Still two more major college football games tonight. Virginia, Virginia Tech. I think Miami would probably be rooting for Virginia Tech there, just to see if maybe they can climb back into the top 25 and have another ranked win on the resume. You have to think about all this stuff now, right? I mean, you have to look at all the sort of games on their schedule. A Georgia Tech win today or tomorrow would be brilliant over Georgia, in that you knock Georgia out of the picture, and the Georgia Tech win looks a little bit better. So, I mean, there's all these things that now the Hurricanes fans are going to have to spend tomorrow scoreboard watching, particularly with I would recommend Bama and Auburn in the Iron Bowl. That's the big one tomorrow. And then, obviously, the game, Michigan-Ohio State. Root for Michigan tomorrow. They're playing at home. They've been terrible this season. If Michigan wins, Ohio State's out of the picture. You're just rooting for teams to be out of the picture. So that, obviously, is the hope tomorrow. All right, let's try and get through a few more of your calls as we carry on. If you want to get in, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Call is on 560 WQAM.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Hey, nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is the quarterback. People calling in. Then listen, I really like the kid. He's gritty. I got nothing personal against him, but I've been saying this all year. The defense has been bailing this offense all year, especially that quarterback with the turnovers and giving him a chance. But when you watch this guy play, he's just not good enough at the University of Miami. And I would be shocked if he studied next year. People are making excuses for him. One guy saying, no, those wide receivers were wide open. I see high school quarterbacks who can make those throws. I love the University of Miami. If you go to the University of Miami, nobody is better than the team. If somebody's not good, they're not good. He's just not good enough for the University of Miami. He's a gritty kid. I love him. But I would be surprised and shocked if he's starting next year because he's just not – he can't throw it. The receivers are wide open. He's surrounded by NFL talent. They're wide open. High school quarterback can make those. He's missing. And he's been doing this all year.
Agreed.
And the plays he make, he just make up for what he messed up. And he'll make a play. He'll make a throw. But he can't be consistent. He's just not good enough, you know. And there's really nothing personal. And people just don't want to admit the truth. But if you love University of Miami, you're not going to win a national championship with him at quarterback. Look at all the Miami teams that won national. They have all-star quarterbacks, or at least very great or very good quarterback. He's not even close to that.
And I can't really disagree with much of what you said. And I think actually the point that you made where I don't think he start next year, I'm with you. And I think everything that's kind of happened today is sort of we're starting to see the culture of convention break down a little bit. We saw it in the World Series this year with the way that the managers use their bullpens. But I think you saw this year, yeah, we have won games that you've started. I think to say the quarterback has won all 10 of these games is not true. And you're spot on when you say, yeah, just because he's been in the game doesn't mean that he's helped them win in all these games. I mean, Miami's defense bailed them out at Florida State again and again and again and again after Miami failed to do anything for offensive possession after offensive possession after offensive possession. And to say that Malik Rozier is single-handedly responsible for being 10-0 is simply not true. And so that's why I'm okay with him being benched. Now, for this season, he's their best quarterback, and they're going to need him to recover in a big way. But you look at his numbers. His completion percentage for the year is like 56%. That's who he is. He's not accurate. He's done enough on the ground and with big plays to make it worth it. He did neither of those things today, which is why it was okay for him to be benched. Because if his whole appeal is big plays, run game, neither of those things happened today. And the caller is right. The throws were there. The receivers were open. And a middling high school quarterback could get the job done. So that's That was the surprising bit of today. Again, the phone number is 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Chris Whittingham in for Dono. 2 hours to go here on QAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.